Welcome to Doing the Most, the series where we talk about the misadventures of entrepreneurship. I'm your host, Georgie, execution strategist and serial entrepreneur. This series is here to get real about what entrepreneurial life truly looks like. We are driven, persistent, hardworking, ambitious. We are human, and these are our stories.
Y'all, 2019, this year been crazy as ever. Like, literally one of the craziest years I've experienced in a long time. And it's been a great year in terms of things that I had and was planning on coming to fruition, but it's also been a very teaching and learning and testing year. So let's start off back in January. So in January 2019, I launched my podcast, Doing the Most Misadventures of Entrepreneurship. And since then, I've had over 40 interviews actually with entrepreneurs. I've done some solo sessions, I've done some Q&A sessions, and it's been amazing just getting a chance to talk to individuals. And what I realized though is that even though I have the podcast, I kind of do miss doing videos. So the podcast wasn't really supposed to start as a podcast. It actually started as a video series. And then one of my podcast guests, shout out to Mickey from Gifted Sounds, she was just like, why don't you turn this into a podcast? And I'm just like, podcasts are a lot of work. I don't know. I know I can do it, but do I really want to add that to my plate? And she was just like, well, if you're part of this podcast network that we have called Gifted Sounds Network, we do a lot of the heavy lifting for you. Here's the fee. And then we worked it out. And now I have the podcast out. But what I realized, though, is that season one in its entirety was the video series. So let's start off with that. And then it wasn't until season two and three that I only was doing audio. I didn't do any more videos. And I'm not going to lie, I kind of lost a little bit of love for it. So don't get offended if you're listening to this on the podcast. Like, I have to just be true to the type of content that makes me feel happy to be creating, the type of content that feels good to me, right? Like, I don't want you guys to be listening or watching something that I'm just like, okay, I'm just going to try this thing. I'm just going to drag my ass on it. Like, I don't want to be dragging my ass. I want to do something and do it well, as much quality as I can. Even though I'm like the get shit done queen, I want to make sure that I'm putting out things that give me joy, make me happy, not just putting it out because, oh, I already committed to this thing, I just got to do it. No, that's not how my life works, and that's not how it's going to start working anytime soon. So what I've decided to do, and those who are listening to this on the podcast or those who listen to my podcast, yeah, I know I started slacking like crazy in season three. Episodes wasn't coming out on Thursday like they were supposed to, like I promised you guys, and I don't want that to continue happening. So what comes next from here is two things. The very last episode of season three of Doing the Most of Misadventure Entrepreneurship will be a podcast live. So that's happening on January 16th at New York City Grow with Google Labs. We're going to be doing a podcast live. If you want to get tickets to that, just message me on any social media at GSD with Georgie. So it's going to be mostly, January 1st, it will be available for purchase on the Grow with Google website, but the finding the information is a little bit tedious, so just hit me up. Just hit me up on social or email hello@gsdwithgeorgie.com, and it's going to be in the show notes, so you don't have to worry about that in the comment section if you're listening to this on social. And so that podcast live episode is going to be happening on January 16th. Again, Grow with Google NYC, and I have a very special guest, y'all. So if you don't know who Dwight Peters is, you're about to know. And so this is a college friend of mine, and he went on to launch a bunch of different companies, bunch of different businesses, and he got the hustle in him. He's a dad, he's an entrepreneur, so it resonates a lot. He's Jamaican, so we're gonna be talking about, you know, what has his misadventures been, because there's been lots of ups and downs as any regular entrepreneur will experience. But I think Dwight kind of brings it full circle, kind of where I started back in Baruch. We were entrepreneurs and like the entrepreneurship life, so it was crazy. Look out for that episode. It's going to be taping live, and then I'm going to air it about a week, 2 weeks after the live session. So that will be the end of season three of Doing the Most of Misadventures Entrepreneurship. And since I started off by saying I started losing love for the podcast, is there going to be another podcast? Is the podcast going to keep living? And the answer to that is yes and no. So I'll start off with the no. So the no is, it's not going to live in the same format that it was doing before. So the podcast is going to go back to being the interviews with the entrepreneurs, and just sharing their stories. So I'm going to keep it as that. I tried to put, you know, a lot of the content on the podcast and it just didn't work. It just didn't fit. Maybe I'll still do bonus episodes, but the consistency of the podcast will live within interviews. So don't beat me up. There's not going to be no content. I'm not going to tell y'all from now. Because what I also did in the first season and the second season that was really helpful, I recorded all the episodes like in a month span and then released them after that. That was more of an efficient workflow for me. And I'm just trying to keep it real with y'all and let y'all know how I get it done the best. And so that's what we're going to go back to. What works? Why break a system that works? And I tried to break the system that was working for me. I like doing it on video. I like recording everything at the same time. Because listen, I get busy with these kids, this family, these businesses. I got a lot of shit to do. And so I want to make sure that when I put out something, it is of quality. It's something that I enjoy, something that I like, something that is presentable to my audience and my fans and my followers and my supporters and my clients and everybody out there listening. So shout out to y'all. I want to give you guys the best type of content that I possibly can. And that starts with me doing videos. I love video. So there's something else coming up. I think I'm going to launch it in March, but I'm not going to say it because I don't want to make promises. And then like, oh, Georgie, where's that thing? Because then I get overwhelmed. Just keeping it real. Just trying to keep it 100% real. We talk about that. This is what getting shit done is about. Being real, being honest, being transparent, being raw, not sugarcoating anything. So far, y'all, we just talked about January, what happened in January, and the results of what's going to happen in 2020 January. Then the next month, February of 2019, I published my book, The Art of Getting Shit Done. And today I have over 400 copies sold. We're not a number one bestseller, but that's okay. Because guess what? I did it. The book is not perfect. There's some grammatical errors, there's some spelling errors. But guess what? I also mentioned that in the very first few pages. I told people what to expect. This book was not meant to be a perfect book. This book was meant to be a done book. The information is there. It's not legible. You can still read it. And I'm really, really proud of getting my book launched. And since launching and publishing my own book, I've helped 3 other people as clients publish their books this year as well. Actually 4, because I did somebody's book cover as well, book cover design. And so what that tells you is that my action led to others taking action and getting stuff done. And that's what it's all about. That's what that to me, like, that is the magic of GSD. That's what I preach and that's what I hope for. So it's not even about me getting it perfect, but it's about me learning and being able to have the knowledge and the tools and the resources to help other people get across that line of execution. Because I'm focused on getting it done by any means necessary. I could look at something like, somebody could look at something like, oh, I can't do that. And then I look at it, I'm like, oh, actually you can do that. You just have to move this around and move it like, okay, it can be done. But a lot of people don't have that type of mindset. And I understand and I am cognizant of the fact that I am privileged in that sense. That is my purpose. That's my blessing. That's what I have to do to be great. That's why I'm on this planet. That's why I'm in this world to help people execute and get across the line of getting it done. And so even though, again, my book wasn't perfect and I've helped clients have super big, you know, bigger launches than I had. And that makes me so happy to see them able to cross that finish line and get these things done. So February, The Art of Getting Shit Done came out. You know, I've gotten a lot of speaking engagements through it. I've gotten a lot of interviews. It's just really amazing to see people when somebody leaves like a review on like Amazon and they tell me how it's impacted their lives. I remember the other day I went to an event and one of my colleagues were there. Shout out to Derek. And he was like, I got this opportunity that we're here right now because of something that I learned, a tip that I learned in your book. And I was just like, yo, stop it. Don't make me cry in front of these people. Don't make me cry in front of these people. Like, that's what it's all about. Share my story, share my lesson, share my journey, share my misadventures. Because a lot of misadventures in that book. And I posted on social media the other day. So if you guys are listening to this and watching this and you have a copy of my book, I wasn't meant to be a sub. I was like, I could tell a lot of people that bought my book haven't read it. Because if they did, they would have been in my inbox. Maybe pissed off, maybe happy, maybe excited. But the folks that do read it and give me these testimonials, some of giving me private testimonies like, listen, I was in a rut and I read your book and I got right out of it. And it like taught me, you know, to keep going, to keep pushing, that there is an option even when I think and feel that there is no option. I'm just like, yo, y'all gonna make me cry all up in these public spaces. Because that truly brings me joy. Helping people to accomplish their goals is what brings me one of the most joys, right? Like, just tell me that, like, my whole day is made. Like, my whole week is made. That was February. Published my book. March was a little crazy. I moved back to New York. So that's what happened in March. I moved. We took the 1,000-mile-plus drive from Georgia back to New York with all of our belongings, all of our kids. And it was a little heart-wrenching because we didn't spend as much time as we wanted to spend in Georgia. But guess what? We learned. We made a lot of connections. And New York is where we needed to be in order to grow our businesses and to then set a stronger foundation, right? So a lot of people were like, Georgia, I thought you said you never come back to New York. I'm like, listen. Life is about change. Life is about obstacles. Life is about growth. And you learn things every single day of your life. Every single day. And like somebody could say some the smallest things, and that could be the most impactful thing that you've heard in years. Years. And I'll give you an example. Somebody the other day I was on the Tamron Hall show as a virtual guest. So if you guys want to be on Tamron Hall show, go apply on her website, go be a virtual guest, right? And so they dialed me in. And the producer asked me for my opinion on a topic. They were talking about the TI stuff that day. I'm not going to talk about it here. This is not a podcast for that. But they were talking about it, and it's like, do you have an opinion? I shared my opinion, and it was like a middle opinion. I was like, you know, I'm a mom, so I understand. Like, as a parent, I understand why he did what he did. But as a woman, like, you overstepped, my dude. Like, that was crazy. And so the producer came back. He was just like, you know, it's okay to have a strong opinion. And he didn't mean anything by it, right? He just, because a lot of people would have, you know, a far like, no, that's completely wrong. Don't do it. And then other people would be like, that's completely right. He did what he had to do as a dad. But my opinion supported both of those things, right? In television, they don't want you to be like the middle person. They want you to have a strong opinion. And so that little sentence that he shared, like, just reframed my mind, because I realized that a lot of times I try to meet midway. And that's just how I feel. I can understand and sympathize with a lot of situations and a lot of people. So I ended up being mid-ground. But I say all that to say that something that one person says to you, or one decision that you make, or one kind of information could lead to a bigger decision that you never even knew was possible, lead to another angle in business, lead to another client, lead to another potential. So moving back to New York, that's what that was for us. Like taking a decision, taking a piece of information and then applying a decision to that piece of information that will allow us to thrive and get better in the long run. And, you know, I hope to find my way back to Georgia, right? I was loving seeing all of those rich Black people. and it was just like a really great community. It was super diverse. I finally saw, you know, what wealth, like my idea of wealth, like is, you know, a nice big house, backyard, your kids go on a block and play. Like, I don't feel like I've gotten a lot of experience in those type of communities. And so being in Georgia allowed me to see that. And that's definitely somewhere I want to go back to. And we can always go back, right? You're not stuck in stone. Even if you make a decision, you could unmake that decision, right? Most decisions are unmakeable. Like, you take them back, redo something, try again, try from a different angle. And that's called life. So that's what happened in March. Y'all see how much information I'm dropping right now? We only in March. Q1, done. Then in April, I got a job. So I'm a mama too. I'm married. We just moved back to New York. Got my nonprofit that we're setting up, Caribbeans in Tech. Still running operations for McCoy Movers. And I still was having my consulting agency, GSD Solutions. And then I go get a job. Do y'all hear me? Yes. Yes, I am crazy. No, I didn't lose my mind the first day, but I did eventually. And I'll rephrase that. But what this job allowed me to, so it allowed for many things, right? So I like to look at the positive side of everything that happens or everything that I experience. And so let's start off with that job. What I was able to do in the few months that I was at that job, I read so many audiobooks, so many books. And then I also learned a lot about operating and running a nonprofit, right? Caribbeans in Tech was becoming a nonprofit. And I had to understand how do nonprofits, especially nonprofits that generate income, work. So I learned that. And I was able to read, I read, because I know some people like to discredit ebooks, but audiobooks. And I was not a big fan of audiobooks either. I'm like, you're not really reading the book. But what these audiobooks that I was listening to was focused on leadership, management, entrepreneurship, personal development. So it was like a lot of skill building while I was doing these tests. Because I was like, people wear headphones at work? This was weird for me because I'm like, I never really had like a real job. So this is like a 9-to-5 Monday through Friday job. I've done many contracts and like part-time at different places before, but I've never like had to go somewhere and like actually dress like a, you know, was it business formal casual? You know, that's business formal, right? I had to like actually put on clothes. Like 99% of the time I'm just in a t-shirt and some sweatpants, and that's how I go to events. That's how I speak to people online. That's how I've worked in most of the companies that I've worked in, a lot of like tech companies and tech startups. So this was like a real culture shock, a real like my first real world experience at like what a job that, you know, regular people go to look like. Like you have to go to lunch. Lunch was a specific time. Like it was really eye-opening. And so the month that I was there, I took what I could, right? I had to take orders from, you know, there's multiple managers above me. You know, I was at the bottom of the line, right? And every day I'll go in, the task is kind of repetitive, but I had to learn these things and understand like, this is how my employees in the future, because I'm a boss already, first of all. And so I had to understand how these things work. How these principles, how do you hire? How do you onboard, right? So I knew a little bit about that already, but now I got to see it firsthand and like, what the employee experienced and how do you operate a nonprofit. So everything that I did there was like a learning experience, but I had to go. So when I get to the month where I had to leave that job, then we'll talk about it. So this is April. So I got this job going 9-to-5 while still trying to handle and balance everything else I was doing. I know I'm crazy, but it's okay. Learn. You never take L's. You only take lessons. Never take L's. Only take lessons. No losses, just lessons. Then let's move on. So that was April, May. In May, I hired my first, I guess you could call it full-time assistant. No, yeah, I hired my first assistant in May. And I've had like folks be, you know, part of my team, help me out as volunteers, but this is like a paid assistant that was kind of an extension of me. And that was also a really good experience to see how do I delegate tasks? Because I knew how to delegate tasks to people like in like higher roles, but how do I delegate like smaller tasks? How do I break something down better? So this taught me a lot more hands-on experience of creating like SOPs, so system standard operating processes in my business. And I'm a person, I like to take a lot of notes. So everything that I did, I already like broke it down and I just was able to amplify and put these skills into place by having this assistant. Like, how do I train? How do I onboard? How do I fire? How do I hire? How do I pay people, right? So all these different practices and principles I was able to put into place. And my assistant, she was amazing, amazing. And yeah, so I was just like figuring out how to manage all these things. Cause I know like my path and like my purpose is definitely to be an entrepreneur, manager, CEO, founder, owner, like period. Like that's gonna be my life. And learning these things from an earlier stage, I'm only 24. So learning these things from now is essential to my success as a business owner and as a boss. As a boss, y'all. And so that was me. Then in June, what happened in June? Oh, June kicked off my tour. So I put my book on tour and I did the GSD tour where I was, I went to various locations in the Bronx, Brooklyn, Queens, like all over New York State to talk about my book, sell copies, get more people to support. And so that was super fun. And it just taught me like, people want to hear what I have to say. That's really what it like put stronger into my brain. And so that was June, and I know I'm missing some stuff that happened, but listen, this is all I remember. And I might write a blog post. I usually do like an end of year blog post and talk about like my year as well. So maybe if something is missing, go check out that blog post and figure out what else happened in these months. But I'm just talking about the key highlights and lessons, right? No losses, just lessons. And some of the book tours, there was one of the book tours locations that one person came, and it was funny. The way the person came, that's a story I'm going to tell you guys. And so I went to the spot. It was a juice spot. Shout out to Nourish Spot in Brooklyn. They're in Queens. The Nourish Spot is a juice bar and food bar that's based in, a healthy food bar that's based in Queens. It's near like Jamaica Avenue, so definitely check them out, The Nourish Spot. And so I went over there, and we were supposed to have like the book, that was one of the book tour spots. I was like marketing it, and nobody showed up. And I'm like, do I take this as like a loss, or what can I do here? What can I learn from here? So what I did was ended up, I went on Facebook Live. I went on all the lives. So Facebook Live, Periscope, which is Twitter. What else did I go on? Instagram Live. And somebody that participated in my Twitter, my Periscope Live video, ended up coming by the spot and interacting. I don't remember if they bought a book. And they bought a book, right? So you just never know. And that taught me about like the potential of the internet. And so this was just me going live, and somebody came to the book stop because of that. So that was a really good lesson. And like, now I do more stuff on Periscope, and now I'm like a streaming guru. I do all things virtual streaming, and I'm gonna have some content about that later in the year. Well, no, new year. New year, new content, y'all. That was June. July now. Okay, July is when I quit the job that I was working. And it was just because I cannot stay stagnant for too long. This job was just not a good fit for me. As a person that's an innovator, creator, I like to have things flexible. I like to just be able to wake up and say, okay, I'm going to do XYZ today. And if I do the same thing too many days in a row, I lose my ish. This is the Doing the Most GSD podcast. I lose my shit, y'all. I lose my shit. I cannot do the same thing too many days in a row. I'm just like, listen. And the job is getting repetitive to the point where, unfortunately, I started slacking. Yes, I started slacking, like intense. Not on purpose, because just like, I've done this already. I don't want to look at it again. Like, if you keep doing the same thing over and over again, you start slacking because like, what could have changed in 24 hours? I already did the same thing for 8 hours yesterday. Like, so, you know, that was my bad. And I should have been paying more attention. But again, that was just not a good fit for me. And forcing or trying to make it work when it's just like, if there's somebody else that deserves this position that will be better in the position than me, that will like pay more attention and care for it more, versus having me here and not doing a good job. So that's my policy when it comes to like quitting jobs. And I've talked about this a lot in like interviews, right? People always say, oh, entrepreneurship, quit your job. Like, that's like the whole correlation. I tell people, do not quit your job unless you truly hate your job, or like it's making you go crazy. And that was the position I was in. I was just like, this job and all the things that I have to deal with every day, I'm going nuts. I'm losing my mind. And I need that. Like, if my mind isn't good, and if I don't feel good, and if I feel like I'm walking on like glass every day, shreds of glass, and like, cutting myself up, like, I can't even put the words together, because it was just so daunting. I kind of became a zombie, and everybody around me started to notice, and they're like, Georgie, you look so tired, you okay? And I'm just like, I don't want to be here. Like, that's what's going on, man. I'm like, I want to be here, but I don't want to disappoint nobody. I don't want to make you sad. Like, so, but I had a really great talk with the manager there, and she just kind of really like, you know, we had a little one-on-one, and it was just really an eye-opening talk that it's just really do what's best for you. And I knew that already, but just having somebody reiterate that was really helpful. So I quit the job in July, and in the same day, my last day of the job, I was featured on Forbes 8. So I went to Forbes 8 and I did it for their pitch competition, and I was presented Caribbeans in Tech at their pitch competition. And that just showed me, right? Like, there's another opportunity. There's something else coming next. The same day I leave the job is the same day I was selected to do the Forbes 8 pitch. Like, come on. Divine intervention was taking place. And I knew that for sure, because I'm just like, this is too crazy, too coincidental. And, you know, they have a little party to celebrate me and like a little goodbye party. But that just shows me there's something else out there. There's another opportunity. There's something coming up next. So don't hold, like, the more you hold back from like going full force on what you're meant to do. And I did a YouTube recording about this, and it should be on my Instagram too. Like, stop blocking your blessings. I went there, I learned what I need to learn, and I was supposed to have been move on, right? And the contract, it was supposed to actually be a short-term thing, like a temp thing. It's supposed to only be 8 weeks. And then I ended up staying there for, I think, like 12, 15, 13 or something weeks, but I was over the time I was supposed to be there, and because they still needed help, and I felt like guilty about like leaving or like just like quitting. I don't, you know, I want to be supportive of people. I care about how people feel and how things work. And so, but like, I was doing a deficit to myself because I was blocking my blessings. Like, I was supposed to go to the place, learn these lessons and take them with me and leave on a good note versus learn these lessons and then start like deteriorating, right? My work ethic, my functionality started deteriorating. And then also, this was like one of the busiest seasons for the moving company. So it was just like my mind and my head was like everywhere versus just being here. And if I had left when I was supposed to, that wouldn't have happened. But no love lost, no losses around here, only lessons. So I took that as a lesson and put it in my pocket, put it, you know, it's gonna be my next book and it's here. Like, I'm here sharing that because I made it out of it. So that was July. And then in August, I started refocusing my energy back onto my content and what I needed to do for GSD, tightened up all the applications and the processes for the GSD summit, figured out what I was going to do for the rest of the year, and started executing that, creating a bunch of content, much interviews, and that kind of progressed till September as well. Got a bunch of speaking opportunities that month and just like networking opportunities. September, what happened in October? Oh, I did my TED Talk. So in October, I did a TEDx. So that was pretty cool. And here it is now, right? In the summertime when I was still at that job, I knew, and I was listening to the book, the audiobook, talking like TED. And then I decided to look up TED Talks that were local. And then I saw like Farmingdale, Long Island City. So those are very local to where I am. And so I was like, all right, I'm going to apply to them. And I reached out to the folks that were putting on these TEDx talks and boom, I was selected. But you see, if I wasn't at the job, I probably wouldn't have listened to the audiobook. And if I didn't listen to the audiobook, like I knew I wanted to do a TEDx, but I didn't have like the action behind it, right? I didn't have like the urgency behind it. So I was at the place. So I had the time to then look up the TED talk, listen to the book, look at the TED Talk, and then apply for the TED Talk. And then in October, when I was now finished with that previous opportunity, I was able to reap the benefits of the seed that I planted, that was planted during this opportunity that, you know, somebody else would have looked at as a loss. But if I didn't have those things happen, this other thing that was the beneficial thing, the thing that I wanted, wouldn't have not happened. If I didn't plant the seeds, I wouldn't be able to reap the fruit. You can't harvest the fruit and the vegetables if you can't plant the seeds. And I'm a, what's it called? I read about this in Charlemagne the God's book. I think it was Black Privilege or the one after that. I don't know, one of his books. And he will, because I didn't watch the movie, but he was saying like, I forgot which movie it was, but like there's a scene that they talk about put the weed in a bag. And it was focused on the fact that these guys, they were new drug dealers and they wanted to just reap the benefits. They just wanted to get the money. They didn't want to stand on the corner. They were talking about what they were going to do with all the money that they made, but they refused. Like they didn't want to start at like step one, which is you can't talk about the money that you're going to use from selling the weed if you haven't even put the weed in the bag. You have to do step one. You have to start somewhere is my point. You have to start somewhere. So the concept of like just recognizing like that opportunity, you have to plant the seeds, you have to put the weed in the back, you have to start somewhere in order to, you have to start at day one in order to get to day 365. That's just the truth of it. And, you know, day two might feel rocky, day five, day 10, and you're like, oh my God, why am I doing this? It's not feeling good. It's not making sense. You just keep putting weed in the back, putting the weed in the back. Or, you know, keep planting the seeds and you're like, oh my God, I'm starving right now. Why do I keep having to plant all these seeds? It's because once you plant the seeds, you might not, you ain't water the plants, take, you know, nurture it, nourish it. A couple months from now, you look over, you're like, oh my God, I got a garden. Oh my God, I am a kingpin, if you want to use the put the weed in the bag example. And it's just as simple as that. You have to start somewhere. I keep telling people this all the time. And I see clients that will come to me or like people that I see on social media or like people that reach out to me. They're like, oh, Georgie, can you tell me how to do XYZ? I'm like, listen, I've been putting this weed in the bag since 2014. Are you trying to ask me to help you, you know, run the block on the first day? You better, I don't even know what to tell you. sorry. And that's just the realness of it. You have to start somewhere. Some people level up faster than others because of whatever resources, access, tools, materials, networks they have. But nobody can do that unless they didn't start somewhere. Somewhere you have to start now. And so let me get back to my calendar. So that was October. I did my TEDx talk. November, the Get Shit Done Summit went down. And I just shared this on social, and I'm going to share it here as well. This year, I was kind of disappointed in the Get Shit Done Summit because I personally felt like this was the most planned out year, the most prepared year, the most, you know, I checked off all the things on my task list, like the most, you know, well-planted year. So if we're going to use a seed example, this was the year that I made sure that I planted my seeds on time. I watered them. I read books to them. I got, you know, somebody to come and hug them. And I was expecting a really good return, right? So again, I took care of these seeds. I did everything that I was supposed to do or what I thought I was supposed to do. And then when it was time to reap, all I got was some dead bushes and weeds, in my opinion. But I had to look at it like this. That's just not, it wasn't meant for this year. I was supposed to learn this year. I was supposed to create content this year. So I'll tell you guys some of the stuff that went down. First thing that went down was, you know, so leading up to the summit, everything was great. It was feeling great. So then the day of the summit, got to my computer, set everything up. Everything was going fine. Then we started having some technical difficulties. And I make all my speakers tech check before the talk to make sure that everything is good, the laptop is good, your camera's not upside down, your audio works, everything. Mad technical difficulties. I'm just like, oh my goodness, but we're gonna keep it going. And then in the middle of the conference, my daughter, who is upstairs, because I'm like in the office at my house, she's upstairs and I hear her crying. She's with my like sister. And my sister's babysitting, and I just hear like screaming, crying. So I run upstairs, and because we were at a break where I think another speaker was talking, I had time to like step away from the computer. So I run upstairs, like running, like, oh my goodness, she's crying crazy. Like, usually she cries like when her brother, like, you know, kids, they act crazy, like sibling issues, right? But this didn't sound like that. This sounded like, you know, if you're a mom or a dad, you know, your parent radar, like, this sounds like something's really wrong. So I get to the top of the stairs and the door is locked. So like I'm banging on the door, like, no, my baby crying, something wrong. Open the door. And my sister comes to open the door. She locked it because my daughter was trying to come down the stairs and I don't want her to do that. I look at my daughter and I see her mouth is like all red and her hand is red too. I'm just like, I know we have strawberries. Was she eating strawberries? Cause I'm just like, this cannot be blood. This cannot be blood. That's a lot of blood. It looked like strawberry. Is it strawberry residue? And my sister's like, no, it's blood. I'm like, it's what? Blood. I'm like, give me my daughter now. Like, just give me the baby. I need my daughter. Like, I felt so bad because as a parent and, you know, guardians as well as like individuals that have people with dependents, right? You feel so guilty when you're doing things that's like not focused on them already, especially when they're home. Now, like, I felt so guilty. Like, I'm here hosting this conference downstairs and my daughter is bleeding and crying and in pain. And I don't, like, what's going on? Like, super, I felt so, like, honestly, I felt like a shitty mom. And so what I did, like, what came up, I was just like, all right, instant thinking. Her lip is busted. Her jaw is busted. She needs ice. She needs this to be cleaned out, and she needs to be coddled. Like, she's in pain. So I went to the freezer, got me some green beans. We didn't have no ice. I got me some green beans, got some baby towel, went to the bathroom, washed her out. And I did all this in time to get back downstairs so that I could transition to the next speaker. I was holding her while on live camera and rocking her until she fell asleep. And that's just how you have to get it done. So overall, she was okay. It was just like, because, you know, your lip bleeds a little bit more, like, because her jaw was all, she bit down on her jaw when she fell. It was just so much. And I, like, 2017 or, you know, 16, Georgie would have had a whole panic attack. Like, we're going to shut this summit down. Please don't call me. Don't text me. It's over. Leave me alone. Too much is going on. But I had to then think of it like, what can be done in this situation, right? Don't focus on what can't be done, right? What can be done? I can wash her out. I can, you know, go back to the computer. Like, it's not, I'm not at a big conference. Everything that I need can be handled. So I checked her, make sure she was good. Listen to see if the previous speaker was still speaking. Healed her, brought her down with me, gave her some support, and everything was fine. The rest of the summit went on fine. We had more technical difficulties, but I ended up just editing the summit and then sending people the replay, right? And that's just like a big lesson on shit's gonna hit the fan. So between the turnout as attendees, I was expecting a lot bigger turnout because I invested a little bit more in like making sure I got ads, making sure I had like somebody on social media, like everything. I made sure everything was so perfect, and it just wasn't, right? It just was not perfect in the way I wanted it to be. And I have a quote. I saw this quote like almost a day after the summit, and it just blew my mind when I saw this quote because it just really summed up the whole entire experience. And the quote is, what does it say? Can't find it. Pretty much the quote is just like, it talks about the fact that shit can still hit the fan, no matter how perfect you could still, oh, it was like, you could still commit no mistakes and still lose. And that quote just reminded me of like, no matter how perfect you may think something is, shit can still happen. Like, it's life. And you just have to figure out how you're gonna adjust to it, how you're gonna move on from it, and what can you learn from this thing. Because if you sit in it too long, you're just gonna make more deficits for yourself, your life, and just everything that you're trying to achieve. So I was just like, listen, this is a lesson, my experience, learn from it, boom, move on. So that was November. And now we're in December. December has started off well. If you guys know, and if you don't know, my birthday's coming up December 13th. So I'm super excited for that. I'm turning 25. And so I think of this year as my, you know, quarter life crisis. And so it was just like a lot of different experiences, a lot of learning, teaching experiences that got me to have to talk to myself about like, what do you really want, right? In your short 24 years, about to be 25, you've done a lot, but what is the things that really sit with you? What are the actions that you love to take? What are the things that bring joy to your heart? What sparks joy in your life? And thinking about that, I did like a day in November where I was just like, went through all my business stuff and figured out, okay, what do I want versus what I don't want? What do I want to continue to do? And what's going to be my legacy? That's the big one. What's going to be my legacy? Am I going to just be Georgie, the girl that did a bunch of things? And the answer is yeah. But I wanted to have purpose and meaning behind it. So I'm the girl that does a lot of things and learns how to do things and then teaches it to other people. I have a skill of breaking down things to a microscopic way that anybody that I come across can easily understand that. And not everybody has that skill. But everybody values and understands that skill. And I've been able to monetize that way more than everything else that I've ever done. So with knowing that, I'm not gonna just do things because I think they should be done. I'm gonna do things that I wanna do and then help other people do those things as well. Cause a lot of people want to do many things. Like, I wrote a book, went on tour, launched a podcast, got a job, had a summit, did a TEDx talk, all in the same 12 months. And a lot of people, that's one of their lifelong goals, just one of those things. And I'm not saying that to stunt anybody. I'm just saying that because that's my specific skill. That's my specific talent. And then now that I've did those things, I could help. And I have helped many people do those things as well. And that's my goal. That's my purpose. The question that people love asking me every year, like I didn't just do 1,000 things, is what's next? So before y'all start asking me this, I'm just going to give you an answer, right? What comes next? Well, I've decided to purge and do a lot of cleanup. Again, figuring out and focusing on things that I want to do. Because I felt for a long time, I did a lot of things that I knew would make other people happy. And to the point where when somebody asked me, what makes you happy? And I'm just like, oh, making other people happy. And that wasn't enough anymore. And I need to figure out, and I've started figuring out and working on things that just are just for me, just like a small space for me to just be great and like feel good. And even if people think it's weird or crazy or like awkward, I'm just like, no, this is what I like. And that's okay. So it starts off with purging. So I decided to streamline everything that I do. So now my, when you think of GSD with Georgie, people know that I have like the GSD University, I had GSD Solutions, the podcast, the book, blah, blah, blah. So this is how we break it down. We have GSD with Georgie. That's my personal brand. And underneath my personal brand, I have my GSD with Georgie website, which is my blog. Doing the Most, a Misadventure Entrepreneurship podcast lives under that, as well as my book, The Art of Getting Shit Done. So if you want to book me for speaking, you want to just listen to or read or interact with some of my content that I do on entrepreneurship, motherhood, being Black, that's where you go to GSD with Georgie for. If you're ready to get shit done and really put time, money, and energy into you doing something instead of just reading and looking and interacting with my content, then you'd head over to GSD Solutions. At GSD Solutions, we do consulting that focuses on strategic execution. And what that means is everything that I've always done. How can we do some shit with this limited amount of resources, right? How can we execute on limited resources? Because that's what I've done since day one. And everybody has limited resources. Even the company that has, you know, $1 million budget, that's still a limited resources. It ends at million. It's not, oh, I have an infinite budget. Everyone has their own version of limited resources. So the little girl or the company that has, you know, $100 and they have to figure out how to get, you know, 5 people in the door versus the company that has $1 million and they need to figure out how to interact with 5,000 people. I help both those size companies to figure out how to strategically execute on what they need to do. And I have various packages ranging from something super simple to something more like intense. And I have a team of folks that work behind me. So developers, designers, like I have everybody you could think of, copywriters. So I have built a whole entire team. So anyone could come to us and we could take in any size of business. Then the last thing is, if you're not ready to have somebody do everything for you and you want to learn and grow with other entrepreneurs, I've created this service called Doer Labs. So Doer Labs is a community. It's a human-centered community for entrepreneurs to learn, connect, engage, and grow. And what I mean by that is because I've seen so many people online will interact with my content or interact with entrepreneurial content, but they don't take action. And so I know through community, you can then exchange knowledge, resources, and connections. So Doer Labs is where I'm going to have all my workshops from now on. So all my webinars where I have guest speakers, all my masterclasses, all my workbooks, all my worksheets, and have people interact and engage and help each other out. So some of the benefits of that, there's going to be an accountability program. There's going to be a mastermind. There's a bunch of ways to actually implement the things that you're learning. So many people are learning and learning alone, or they might be involved in a Facebook group. But I feel like that's not enough. You need to have all these things in one place where you can then level up and people could keep you accountable so that you grow together. And so that's Doer Labs. And it's a membership subscription, monthly membership program to get access to everything. So instead of just paying for one-off courses, people are getting a part of this intense community. And I'm going to be in there every day. So I'm going to be interacting and hanging out with people and really trying to get folks to execute. So this is more of like a DIY space. Versus like GSD Solutions, that's done for you. And you'll get all this information if you go to my website, gsdwithgeorgie.com. And I separated it into these sections because GSD with Georgie, again, focuses on content. GSD Solutions focuses on if you want somebody to get the work done for you, work with you to get that done. And then GSD, hear me talking about GSD. Then Doer Labs is a space where you come together and you co-work and collaborate with other entrepreneurs. So that's a breakdown. And that's what I'm gonna be hitting the floor running with in 2020. And I want y'all to come hang out with me. This ain't about me selling nothing. Y'all can check it out. I just wanted to recap my year and tell you guys what I'm gonna be working on next year and what's coming up. A lot of, again, focus, a lot of execution, getting shit done as usual. But this year, 2020, I usually set an intention for the year. And for 2020, I want to help, like I want to be able to name each of these people. I tried to do this campaign before. I want to help 100 people get shit done. I want to know these people. I want to either help them through GSD Solutions, so having them come as a client, having them be a member of the Doer Labs community. But I want to help 100 specific people get shit done in 2020. So 2019 was focused on me getting shit done and showing, like, listen, I'm about that life. I strategically execute. I am the execution strategist, period. And then 2020 is about, let me help you get shit done. I am the execution strategist, the person that you need to have in your pocket. I've done a lot of stuff over the last couple of years, and I'm super excited to turn 25. Happy birthday to me. And you could definitely shout me out and say some happy birthday words to me at GSD with Georgie on all social media, December 13th, Friday the 13th. Don't forget it. And it's just really about how can we really execute, right? Motivation is one thing. Content is one thing. Ideas are one thing. And I want to leave you guys on the note of, you know, anyone and everyone can have ideas all the time, every day. But it takes a unique person to say, I'm going to choose myself to execute my idea. And I truly believe to my core that now is the time to choose yourself for your idea. Whether you are a college student, a high school student, a college grad, someone in the middle of your career, your 50th birthday is coming up, your 25th birthday is coming up, you're turning 100 next week. It's always a good time to start. There's no bad time to start. You may not feel like you have everything that you want to get started, but you always, always have everything that you need to get started. There's something that you could do right now, today, to start on whatever journey, whatever path, whatever task, whatever you want to get done. There's something that you can do today, right now, this second, this moment, to get started. You just have to figure that out. And I can help you because I'm the execution strategist. I'm out, y'all. This is the last episode of 2019. Catch y'all 2020 for doing the most, the misadventures of entrepreneurship live in New York City. And check out GSD with Georgie, Doer Labs, and GSD Solutions. Remember, keep getting shit done, y'all. And I'll catch you guys soon on another episode.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of Doing the Most. Catch us here next week, same time, same place. If you can't wait, head on over to doingthemost.xyz to stay connected. Until next time, keep on doing.